All right, Luke chapter 17. Let's start reading about verse 28, and we'll read through the end of the chapter. This is just a little thing that I've been thinking about this week. This kind of spoke to my heart when I read it and got to thinking about it. I've thought about it through the years, but I never really stopped and dug a hole there to see what was there. But I'm going to look this morning. Luke 17, verse 28. Likewise also, as it was in the days of Lot, they did eat, they drank, they bought, they sold, they planted, they builded. But the same day that Lot went out of Sodom, it rained fire and brimstone from heaven and destroyed them all. Even thus shall it be in the day when the Son of Man is revealed. In that day, y'all understand it's a day, one day, someday. The sun's going to come up, and that's the day. In that day, he which shall be upon the housetop and his stuff in the house, let him not come down to take it away. And he that is in the field, let him likewise not return back. Remember Lot's wife. And that's what we're going to do this morning. Whosoever shall seek to save his life shall lose it. And whosoever shall lose his life shall preserve it. I tell you, in that night there shall be two men in one bed. One shall be taken, the other shall be left. Two women shall be grinding together. The one shall be taken, and the other left. Two men shall be in the field. The one shall be taken, and the other left. And they answered and said unto him, Where, Lord? And he said unto them, Wheresoever the body is, thither will the eagles be gathered together. And so there's some things to think about there. Let's pray. Father, we thank you for the word of God. Thank you for the songs we've sang together here. Thank you for the special that you sang. Lord, it's been good to be in your house today. Thank you for the good Sunday school lesson, the time together. Now bless your word to our heart. Lord, as we look at this for a few minutes, help us to carry away some things here that we'll be mindful about. And Lord, please deal with souls that are trifling with their eternity, please. Help us, Lord, to be sober and serious about our walk with Thee, our knowledge of You, our relationship with You, our standing before You. Please help us, Lord, to be honest in our hearts this morning, every one of us, from the smallest to the oldest here. Please help me to say these things right and with the help of the Holy Spirit of God. Otherwise, it's just not going to be any good at all. Please be with us now in Jesus' name. Amen. All right, he said, remember Lot's wife. Now, that's not just Jesus never just dropped words in to fill in. I don't believe he ever said, or you know, I don't believe Jesus ever said that stuff. Yeah, or like. Every word of God is pure. And says that something yesterday about the words of Jesus just being, they are special. He spoke them on this earth in a body. Of flesh, just like yours. And so they're special. These are the words of Jesus. He's talking about when He comes. He's talking about when He judges this world. He's talking about the end, your end, whatever that may be. You know? See, I said, you know. He said, remember Lot's wife. So let's just remember her for a little bit here. Let's think about Lot's wife. She only made one very brief appearance in the Word of God. There in Genesis chapter 19, as they were leaving Sodom, that's the first and only time we hear anything about Lot's wife, except when Jesus mentioned her here in Luke chapter 17, thousands of years later. We don't even know her name. We don't know anything whatsoever about her. We don't know if she came from Sodom or Lot had her before he got to Sodom. We don't know nothing about her. I mean, we are left totally without any information about Lot's wife, but yet Jesus said, remember Lot's wife. You better be mindful of her. Think about her. Remember her. And she made this very brief appearance in the Word of God. And the only time she's mentioned is at the end of her life. We don't know nothing that happened before this. All we know is in the very short time before she was turned into a pillar of salt. And it was a short time. We only know about a few hours of her life. That's all we know. And Jesus said, remember her. We know nothing about her at all except what we know about how she died. She's a nameless person who Jesus held up to us as one to remember as you're anticipating meeting God and facing God and coming to the end where you'll be facing in the presence of God. Jesus made this important thing here, this important announcement. You need to think about this woman that you don't know anything about except this. So it ought to be pretty easy to focus in on what he's talking about, shouldn't it? I mean, it shouldn't be very confusing what he wants us to know and understand about this woman. Evidently, there's some very important lessons Jesus wants us to learn here from Lot's wife. Well, the very first thing that's obvious to everybody who would just think about it for a moment is that she was almost saved. Almost. I mean, she was real close. It was at the last minute that she was lost. She, no doubt she'd heard about, maybe even had met Abraham and Sarah. Now, she couldn't have lived with Lot without knowing about Abraham and Sarah. There's no way. I mean, you can call it speculation, whatever you want. It's just common sense and facts of life. There's no way she couldn't have known about Abraham and Sarah. She may have known them, may have met them. I don't know about all that, but I know that she knew about them. She was acquainted with God and truth and righteousness because Lot was. There was no way she could be married to Lot and raised a bunch of kids and lived a life that long with a man without knowing some things of what he knew about. You don't get married and leave all of your past blank. You don't do that. That just doesn't happen. She knew. She was acquainted with God, and she was acquainted with truth, and acquainted with righteousness. Now, there's tons of people. In fact, the great majority of people are like that. They sure are. And she held the hand of an angel. An angel held her hand. The Bible tells us there in Genesis chapter 19, he took them. The men took them by the hand and set them outside of Sodom. She made it that far. So where are you at on this journey? I mean, you know, think about yourself. I'm telling you, Baptists have gone way too far with this security thing. Trying to make everybody not fear God at all. Not have any fear about the future and what might happen to them. Now, I believe in eternal security, but I believe that you have to be the real deal before you got any security. And here's even a more important thing that I believe is I believe a lot of people think they got it and they don't. The great majority of the people who profess to be Christians are not really Christians. It's just what Gary was talking about in Sunday school. They've left off the cornerstone. They got religion. They've joined the club. They're in this social group called a church, but they don't know the Lord. And their heart is in the world, not in heaven. She made it out of Sodom alive. Made it out. She made it out. She got out of Sodom. Now think about that. Let that sink in a minute. Jesus said, remember this woman. Well, what about her? Well, she, an angel, picked her up and set her outside of Sodom. You think about them walking out, you know, and leading them out by the hand. There wasn't time for that. And if you read Genesis chapter 19, verse 16, it looks to me like that it happened just kind of like it did with Philip. All of a sudden, he's in another place. Because when the sun, it says when the morning arose, Then that's when they're still in Sodom when the morning arose, and they were entering into Zoar as the sun was rising. So that's not very, there ain't much time in between when the morning rises and the sun rises. Picked them up and set them out there and said, get, go, flee. And don't look back. She got out of Sodom. I mean, the Lord picked her up, put her out of there, along with Lot and his two daughters, her two daughters too. And she was still lost. A lot of people can really put on a show. A lot of people can really feel like they've abandoned. Man, I guarantee you that I know people who've abandoned that old life. They're not there anymore, but their heart is. They don't do those things they used to do, but it ain't because they don't want to.
Exactly. Yeah.
It's just because of what it would cost them in their social group if they did. And that's the way they live life. And that's why you hear all these testimonies in Baptist churches about this great struggle that everybody has. That's what they're struggling with. The world and sin that they've had all their life and they've never been delivered from it in their heart. They've come out from them and they've started going to church and living this moral life on the outside. But the inside's full of rottenness and dead men's bones. She made it out of Sodom alive. She was doing what others were doing that were being delivered also. I mean, she was doing exactly the same. Hang on a minute. As Lot and the two daughters were. And the angels led them out. I mean, it looked like she was just like the others. She was going too. The angels brought her out too. She got out of there too. And from all appearances, it looked like she was one of them. It looked that way with Jesus' disciples too. And one of them was a devil. You found out later. It's going to be that way when Jesus comes too. A lot of people are going to find out. Today's a lot of people that's on the journey. They do all the things. They talk the lingo. They got the religious garb. But they ain't got the real deal. Their heart's still back in Sodom. She was within sight of the refuge. The sun was coming up as they went into Zoar. As they got there. But she, you know, and the way this thing is, Zoar was another city of the plains. And God had told Lot, he said, okay, I'll do this for you too. You can go live in that city. I won't destroy that city. But as they were going into that city, or getting to that city, Sodom was annihilated behind them. And Lot did not even, I mean, they just took a detour and went right to the mountains, to a cave. They didn't want no part of being down there anywhere close to that. No, that's after what happened to Sodom and the cities of the plain. It wasn't just Sodom. It was four cities that God destroyed in that day. And Abraham seen the smoke from where he was. He got up that morning and looked, and he could see the whole country as a smoke toward Sodom. It was gone. Abraham knew what happened because God done told him way ahead of time. Abraham knew long before Lot knew. She was within sight of home. Almost made it. She still had her husband and her two young daughters with which to start a new life. She had hope. She had everything in the world going for her. In spite of all this, she looked back. Now, she thought she was safe when she turned to look back, in spite of the fact that the Lord had told them, do not look back. Do not look back. Now, when, you know, and it's the angels, whatever you want to think, I mean, that it's good as from God. God sent them there. They're the ambassadors for God. They're speaking for God. They're taking care of God's business. And they said, do not look back. She ignored them. She did it her way. Thought she knew as well as anybody what was harmful and what wasn't. What was good for you and what wasn't. She thought she could discern that for herself. She didn't need nobody telling her. what was right and wrong, what would happen if she did. She could do it and not have any consequences. She felt safe when she turned around and looked anyway. Lot didn't turn around. Them girls didn't turn around. She turned around. Lots of people are like that. It don't matter what the Bible says. They think they can do it and get away with it. You better remember Lot's wife. You don't. God's not mocked. He's not. Fools make a mock at sin, but God is not mocked by fools or anybody else. Better remember Lot's wife. The thought in her mind, well, wait a minute. The thought in her mind was that she was out of reach of the destruction. She'd made it this far. What could hurt her now? I mean, I'm this close to refuge. What can stop me now? I'm home safe. That's what everybody's preaching nowadays. That's what all the Baptists are preaching. Now everybody else does it too. You know, it don't matter how you twist and turn things around. Brother Owen was talking to me the other day, and he said, you know, about Arminianism and Calvinism. And if you don't understand none of that, that's the two opposite poles of religion. One is God does it all for you, and the other one is you got to do it all. And so in between those, you know, that's the two extremes. And we got people all around us here that believe you can lose your salvation. And so that's been a big controversy through all the years. And their accusation is this fact that if once saved, always saved, well, that's a sin in religion. That loosens everything so you can just go ahead and sin. That's true. That's the message that it leaves in their mind. But what about the people who say you lose your salvation, you can get saved again? Doesn't that have the same effect? You can be a sin in religion and be an Arminian. You can be a sin in religion and be a Calvinist. That's how it works. If there's always a way for you to get in, no matter what you do, then who cares, man? But you need to have a healthy fear of God that you might be lost with no opportunity again to find God. You need to have a healthy fear of God so that you don't get so far along in your walk and your knowledge of God and your understanding that you think you have, or the place where you're at in your Christian life, that you just kick back and say, ain't nothing happening to me. I'm safe. I'm home safe. You ain't home safe till you're home safe. You better figure it that way. You'd be a whole lot better to think in those terms than to get this assurance that you're just fine and dandy and ain't nothing wrong and nothing can happen to you and God can't even touch you. Now, I'm doing you a lot more service in telling you that and instructing you that way than I am to try to put some false assurance into you that you're okay. Don't worry about it. God's got you. God loves you. Hey, heaven's your home. Because I don't even know what your heart is, and neither does anybody else. And you may not even know your own heart, for that matter. How could she be affected by what was happening back there where she just came from? Just by looking at it one more time. That's what she thought. I mean, what's it going to hurt? How could it affect me to look back just one more time? Just look one more time to my past. Look one more time to my life that I've given up, that God's just delivered me from. You better think about that. That looking back, better remember Lot's wife. Lots of people look back in their life with nostalgia and sentimental feelings and a longing for what they used to be and used to have and used to enjoy. I've saw preachers preach and they'll get to telling about when they was back in their race car or they was back in their barroom fights and their pool playing and all of this and gambling and drinking and their shenanigans they done, and boy, they just relish in it, what they used to be. Really? They're making this appearance of trying to show you how glad they are to be delivered from it, but the tone and the feelings that are expressed don't really say that. Now, we are to remember where God got us from, but not with sentimental feelings and longings for what used to be. If you got that, if you got that in you, you got a problem in your heart.
Right.
You're not looking at your sin and what God has delivered you from properly. There's something wrong in that heart. You'll hate what you were. You'll hate everything about that old life that was sending you to hell in a handbasket. And the people around you, and the influence you had on others, and the hurt that it caused other people, and the souls that were damaged and damned because of your old life. You won't love it.
Right.
You won't want to look at it.
Amen.
Except with hatred and despite and rejoicing in your heart because God delivered. You'll be looking forward, not back, to get your wisdom and understanding and to make your illustrations and stuff. You won't be looking to that old life. But she didn't think it hurt at all to just look back one more time. You better be careful doing that. Instead of looking ahead, she looked back. And her mind and her heart were affected in the ways that brought her immediate destruction. Jesus said in Luke chapter 9, verse 62, "No man, having put his hand to the plow and looking back, is fit for the kingdom of God." How many people are going to go the way of Lot's wife? Almost delivered. Within sight of home. And then start looking back and taking up thoughts and affections of the wickedness they've been brought out of. Why couldn't she just look forward? Why couldn't she start thinking about what are we going to do now? I mean, there's just him and me and these two daughters. What are we going to do now? And start planning and thinking and praying and seeking God about that. You know, you need to have that in your life. Everybody ought to understand that in life. People wipe out when they lose a loved one, when some tragedy in their life happens, when they lose a job, or they get sick, or they become crippled, or they, you know, there's a thousand things in life that can happen that changes everything. And you have to go forward. You got to look forward. You can turn around like Lot's wife and look back and you'll just perish. You'll turn into a pillar of salt. Not good for nothing. You won't be able to do anything. Just stand there in stone cold the rest of time in eternity. You got to look forward. God told Moses at the Red Sea, he said, "Tell the people to go forward right into the sea." That's what it sounded like when God told him that. Go forward. That's what Lot's wife should have done. But she turned back. She turned around. She looked back. How many are going to get to the very threshold of heaven and be lost at the very last, like Lot's wife? Well, deathbed testimonies through all the ages tell us the frightening truth about that matter. Yeah, I've said to you a lot of times, you've heard me say it different times, but when Jeannie told me about the deathbed in the hospital, the things that happen on a deathbed in the hospital, she said, "I've seen a lot of men die in the VA hospital." And she said, "Here's the way it is. Some of them are ready to die, and they really are. And they, when death approaches, it's peace. And they just fade out and fade away with a smile on their face." She said, "There's others who are not ready, and they know they're not ready. And death approaches, and it's a terrifying ordeal as they die." And then she said, "There's this other bunch of people that think they're ready until the moment arrives. And then they realize in that moment they're not ready." She said, "That's the worst of all." And then she said, "You know who I've seen a lot in that group of people?" She said, "I've seen a lot of preachers in that group of people. They get to that last moment when they feel death's grip and they realize they almost made it. But they had some serious problems in their heart." Lot's wife turned around because of her heart. What was wrong with her heart? I mean, God brought her out of Sodom, but her heart was still there. Her looking back was what caused her to perish. If she hadn't turned around, she would not have perished. Now, that's just the way it is right there. She wouldn't have turned to a pillar of salt. It was what her heart felt when she turned. You listening to me? It was what her heart felt when she turned to look at Sodom again that made her continued living unacceptable to God. God said, that's it. He didn't let her turn back around and keep on going with Lot. No. So you think God just let anything slide? He just let anything go? He's just merciful forever and ever and ever. And there's never an end to it. And no matter what you do, you can still go back to God. Now that's what sin and religion has taught everybody. But the truth of the Word of God is it's not that way at all. There's a point where God, you're suddenly destroyed, and that without remedy. He that is being often reproved and hardeneth his neck shall be suddenly cut off. That's what happened to Lot's wife. And Jesus said, remember Lot's wife. Remember this. Because this is the way it is, and this is the way God is. To grieve and long for the life you once had in the midst of wickedness and evil and hold on to it as something precious reveals a heart that's not truly converted and a heart that is not after God. And that is a fact. To sympathize with, and you need to listen to this, to sympathize with and to have empathy toward the wicked people of Sodom is to put yourself at enmity with God. And you really need to listen to that. Because we've got a world full of people, and you young people are growing up in a world where you're just being absolutely brainwashed to be tolerant toward sodomites. And when you are tolerant of them, you are against God. And you put yourself right in the same boat as them. He turned Sodom and Gomorrah into ashes and Lot's wife also into a pillar of salt. Same difference. Because she turned around and that's the deal. She lived there. She loved those people. How could a loving God do this? Sympathy and empathy with the enemies of God means you are an enemy of God. It is to condemn God and justify the wicked. When you take up for the most ungodly people that can be imagined, as these were, and it, by the way, you know, I ain't going to go too far with this, but if you could only see with your eyes and with your other senses what they do and what goes on and what was going on in Sodom, you would be for God. And when the smoke went up, you'd be saying, glory to God. Thank God that he destroyed that bunch of wicked, ungodly people. Yes, sir. It's not some innocent thing that adults do in private that harms nobody. That is as far from the truth as it can get. They're the most evil, wicked, cruel, bloodthirsty, violent, intolerant people that live on this earth. And God destroys them, just like he did here. That's the whole purpose of this. We can read about it in other places in the New Testament where God names this situation right here. Peter talks about it. And it's given to you for an example, an ensample that you might fear. and not perish like they did for their ungodliness. Remember Lot's wife. She sympathized with them. She empathized with them. Really, she condemned God and justified the wicked. If she was taken up for God, she wouldn't have been destroyed. If she was really on God's side, she wouldn't have been destroyed. But she wasn't. And this was the last straw. The last straw. Now, going to get out of Sodom and go on living and spread that vileness anywhere else. God destroyed it. And I mean, he purged it and all the pollution of it and the defilement of it. He burned it to ashes and sterilized that whole plain. The pilgrim of God looks forward and only remembers the former life with rejoicing that he was brought out of it. That's the only thing you feel when you remember those times and where you come from, is that thank God I'm not there anymore. I don't want to go back there. I don't want to hear it, taste it, feel it. I don't want to experience it anymore. I'm glad it's gone. The past sinful life is abominable to him, and he has no secret longing or sentimental feelings about it. All right, she was made an example by Jesus for all of humanity to look to and to look at as they ponder the end of all things. A pillar of salt that probably stood for many, many years right there on the shore of the Dead Sea or whatever, wherever it was, within sight of Sodom, where Sodom was. Don't think that that deal happened and everybody in that whole country didn't know. Everybody did know for many, many, many years, hundreds of years, everybody could look at the evidence. And there was Lot's wife, a pillar of salt. A memorial. It stood right there within Sodom, where Sodom had been. And even though that physical pillar of salt may be gone now, Jesus made sure to establish it forever by mentioning these three words as he taught about the final end when he comes to judge this world. He just dropped that in there. Remember Lot's wife. That pillar may be gone, but it stands in history. It stands in the minds of everybody that reads this book. Jesus said for us to remember her, to think about her, to look at her and what happened to her and why. Are you getting anything out of this? I mean, can you apply this to you today? Because that's the whole point. You remember Lot's wife. You remember, so you don't do like she did. Are you looking forward? Are you still turning around looking back? Are you still back in Sodom? God uses the destruction of the wicked as an example to us to keep us from going the same way and also ending up as an example of what sin and selfishness comes to in the end. Would you want to be an example like her? Would you want for people to talk about you? I mean, hey, do you want people to talk about you in years to come as an example of what happens to people who refuse to obey God and who almost made it but didn't? We do it all the time. I can sit here and tell you, I couldn't count on my hands the young people that I've been in church with and watched them grow up and watched them die. An early death. I can tell you the people that I've seen in church that we've been to prayer meeting with. I've been to missions conference with them. I've been to mission fields with them. Been on everything that are way gone now. They're an example. I hold them up to other young people that are still, there's hope for. I say, here's what happens. Remember Lot's wife. Jesus said, I want you to know that's what happens right there. That's what could happen to you. You better be careful. You better be ready. There's going to be two in the field, two in the bed, two grinding at the mill. One's going to be taking the other left. One's going to be taking the other's left. One's going to be taking the other's left. They're both going to be doing the same thing. Both going to be looking just like they're the same. They got the same idea. Everything looks the same on the outside, but they're not on the inside. And when it comes to the last draw, the last call, one's going, one ain't. Don't you be the one that ain't. Her looking back not only affected her because it ended her, but it affected the lives of many others very badly. Also, I want you to think about something. What might have happened with Lot if his wife had stayed with him and with her daughters and done right? Exactly. That's my next line, Jacob. Boy, you're right with me. That's exactly right. There wouldn't have been that horrible deal with Lot and his daughters. There wouldn't be any Moabites. There wouldn't be any Ammonites that have caused problems for Israel, God's people, and still causing problems over there right now. Because one woman turned and looked. Looked back. It wasn't just her loss. It was a great loss for Lot, for their daughters, for the people in the years to come. How many? How many thousands, hundreds, thousands were affected by her and her impulsive one time turning around when God told her not to? How much harder was Lot's life after that because she couldn't bring herself to look forward instead of back? She was his wife. He lost his wife along with his other children. Along with everything he had. It would have been a lot better for Lot if she had just been right, stayed right. She almost did. Almost made it. Keep your eyes and your thoughts and your ears and your heart out of the past and in the present and in the future. Remember Lot's wife so you will remember what might happen to you. Don't think it can? Have you been pelted so much and insulated so much with all this security and don't worry and be secure that don't faze you? You need to look in the mirror and realize that if the righteous scarcely be saved. I remember preaching on that a year or two ago. How in the world? I mean, that's the way we're supposed to look at it. Man, I just barely made it. And if I make it from here on out, says, don't you know? Yeah, I know I'm saved. I don't lay down at night and worry about going to hell. But I also know the dangers that are all around me. And I fear God. Remember Lot's wife, so you'll be mindful of what might happen to others if you start looking back. Remember Lot's wife, so you'll have a healthy fear of a holy God who has had mercy on you and led you this far. I mean, remember Lot's wife. The main thing about Lot's wife is that you need to remember is don't look back. And rid yourself of all your affection and sentimental feelings about this world. Not just the life that you used to have, but the life that's still around you. I mean, in a sense, we live in Sodom still right now. That's where we're at. We're at the point where the men of Sodom are at the door of Lot's house. That's where we're at in the whole scheme of things here. Getting real close. I mean, it's getting real close to that point where you better not look back. Can you do that? Remember Lot's wife. Let's stand. Peter talks about those false prophets who threw much wantonness lure them who have clean escaped, lure them back. And they're again polluted with the things of the world. See, it's a danger that's there. Remember Lot's wife. We want to sympathize with her. A lot of people do. They want to sympathize with her. You know, as were her children were still there. Well, yeah, they're children. She still had children there. Maybe grandchildren. Who knows? Didn't mention any grandchildren. You can count up. Abraham said, begged God until he was down to 10 people. If 10 people had been in that city who God could consider righteous, he would have spared the city. Lot had, he had two virgin daughters at home. And him and his wife, that's four. It says, your sons, the angel said, that's at least two. There's your six. And he said, sons-in-law and daughters-in-law. He went out during that night and talked to them. Well, there's your four more. That's ten right there. If that very basic, the number that we know that Lot had in his family was ten. And Lot went out in the night after the Sodomites had been to the door and had smote him with blindness. They said to Lot, said, you got any more in this house? Son-in-law, sons, your sons, your son-in-laws. And Lot went out and spoke to his sons-in-law, told them to get out, that God's going to destroy this place. And he seemed as one that mocked. Sodom ain't no place for somebody that belongs to God. And if you get a chance to get out, and if God brings you out of it, you sure better not be looking back. Amen. Father, thank you for the word of God. Thank you for the message this morning. Pray it bear in on our hearts. Wouldn't be confusing to people. Lord, it shouldn't be. I just know we need to have a healthy fear of the Lord, a healthy fear of our own security that we build up in ourselves. We should not be so secure that we don't fear God and we don't have any fear of of what might happen. Please help us to balance this out in our mind. Lord, I know that as long as I'm safe in your arms, I'm safe. But when my heart is in love with this world and longing and sympathizing with them, I'm in great danger. And I just pray that these everybody hears this, would understand that this morning in Jesus' name. Amen.